progress, I'm just really proud to introduce L'Oreal. Okay. My name's L'Oreal. I'm a grateful recovering addict alcoholic. Like she said, I've been clean since April 24, 2018. I have 505 days clean. And it's all by the grace of God. While I was out there struggling with life, I asked God to get me where I'm at today. And He is capable of walking us all through it. Go back on my life, my childhood. Let's see. I grew up in a alcoholic family. I did not think they were alcoholics until I entered these rooms. My mom was a single mom, workaholic, alcoholic. She worked 90 hours a week, three different jobs, and she went to the bar six nights a week. Sunday was her night home with the family. Single mom, so yeah, my dad left when I was 2 years old due to his addiction. My mom and him both used prior before my brother was born, and my dad couldn't get off the drugs. So by the time I was born, my mom told him to kick rocks. All my life I grew up with no father, and I always hated methamphetamines. That's what, and crank, that's what my mom told me he was on, and that's why I didn't have a dad, so I had a resentment towards it. Going on, about 5 years old, my mom met my stepdad, and she started cleaning up on going to the bar, and in about 99, my mom and my dad and my uncle went to the bar, and they got into a bar fight, and so my mom said no more, so she built a bar in our backyard. To me, it was like, you know what, my mom works a lot, she works like a man, she installed tile, and she deserved to have a party here and there, and our parties would be outrageous. I mean, we would raise money for Toys for Tots. We would rate our Halloween parties. We would get toys donated. So I always thought it was okay. But I was 13 years old, having my mom's friends put drinks in the bathroom so I could go in there and drink. And if I seen my mom's hair greasy, I knew it was okay to get shit-faced. You know, that meant she was shit-faced and she wasn't going to notice it. So even before I came into these rooms, I didn't think I had a problem, you know, and I realize now, working my steps, that, you know, I had a problem back then. 9 years old is when I first had my first cigarette. So, moving on, my mom always thought I was a troubled kid, but I didn't think I was a troubled kid, because I did it all behind her back, and she was doing the same thing, you know. At about 16, I went on home studies, because my mom was at work so much, she didn't push me to go to school, she had to go work and make money, so it was my job to get myself up and go, and I would only go here and there when I felt like it, or when I didn't go to stay up all night, and so I ended up dropping out. When I was 16, my uncle, the only person that was around my family with drugs was my Uncle Jerry, and he was in and out of prison so much. And he was out around the time I was 16, and he told my mom I was sneaking out and I was smoking weed. So she screwed my screens in. And truth be told, I was just trying to smoke my cigarettes and ash out the window. But so she was really controlling, really like old school Portuguese. My family was, my stepdad's Portuguese, and I was not allowed to go anywhere. I was home. My friends could stay the night, but I was not allowed to go stay the night at anybody else's house. Although I did have a bar in my backyard, and that's, you know, it was a party house. So once I turned 17, 18, about 17 and a half, I found a boyfriend and I moved out. I was ready to make my own decisions. And that was my first abusive relationship. And it just knocked me down until I was done with it. And I told my mom I'm ready to come back home. And of course, I was 18. So at that time, she couldn't hold me back. She couldn't tell me what I had to do. I was just out partying, doing what I want. So I started drinking, started using other substances. I didn't see it as bad. I was doing it once every other weekend, you know. I was partying real bad, and I had gotten pregnant, and I didn't know what to do. It was by my brother's best friend, so being so young, easily influenced by others, I made the decision to have a miscarriage, and that miscarriage pretty much messed me up mentally, and I met my husband, and I decided I was done. I was done with drugs. He had a little girl, and it was around the same. She was the same age as what my baby would have been. So I linked on to him, and I ended up marrying him, having two kids or a kid with him, and he was really abusive. But working the steps now, I realized that I had some doings in that, you know, as in verbally abusing him. And I was just unhappy. I didn't know my worth, you know what I mean? We ended up getting pregnant, and we both got in the fist fight. We both were in the wrong, and I had a miscarriage. He agreed to taking the battery abuse classes, and that we were going to make it work. And I got on birth control. I got pregnant again. And so from right there, I left him. And I was really... I just wanted to have my baby, you know, without, you know, fighting and stuff like that. And let me get back to it. Okay, so I ended up leaving him, and the whole time I was with him, he tried to tell me, you know, I didn't do nothing. I was nobody. I was ugly. I was this. I was that. And so I went out trying to prove him wrong. I tried to get revenge on him. I got my own house, and I wanted to have that party house, you know, that my mom had back in the day. And it turned into a whole lot of everything else. Chelsea was there the day I got my house, my keys, and, you know, she was in recovery, and she told me right away, I'm not, you know, I can't hang out with you no more, and she knew, so, let me get my notes, hold on, I'm going way far out, so that was at 27 years old that I started partying and using other substances, committing crimes. Let's see. Right from the start, I had just gotten the house. Okay, it lasted maybe 2 months, and within those 2 months, I started pushing off my kids. You know, okay, when I left my husband, I had my baby, and my son was getting really standoffish, jealous, like, from my baby, because I had to spend a lot of time with my baby in my arms, you know, and I kept trying to explain to him, you know, Sissy did the same things and helped and felt the same way when you were little, you know, and every time I'd bring up Sissy, it would just take me out, and that's when I got my house, that's the part of me that needed to get numb. It just hurt too bad to think about her, because when I left my husband, I didn't get to see my stepdaughter no more, and, I mean, that was my pride and joy. I put her in preschool. I volunteered every Monday of her kindergarten year. She was mine. You know, I considered her my baby, and he wouldn't allow me to do that in his family, and it took me out. So after I had the house, the kids, I kept pushing them off. At first, I was just telling myself, you know, just for these 3 days, I'm going to send them to my mom's, get some rest, and I'll get my kids next week. Well, they went to their dad's every weekend, and it just got to where I never had my kids, and I kept pushing them off to my mom and dad. And I would tell myself, you know, one more month, you know, because at the time, well, first, I still had my kids, and after the 2 months of putting my kids off to my mom, and then I started losing my house. I got an eviction notice because I was out at the casino rather than paying my rent. And once that happened, I told my mom, you know, I really got a problem. I need help. And I still didn't stop. I ended up moving into my mom's for a little bit, but my stepdad's old school Portuguese, never dealt with any kind of addicts, and he just thought I could just stop like that. He didn't know about, you know, when you're using, you and when you're coming down, you got to sleep. And he would push me out of the house, call the cops on me when I wouldn't wake up, take care of my kids, just all kinds of stuff. So my mom texts my husband and told him, you know, I can't do this no more. My dad's having heart attacks. My mom's got cancer. And I need you to take the kids. L'Oreal's not taking care of them. So he took me to court. I had warrants. I didn't show up to court because I was scared to get arrested in front of the custody judge. And from that moment on, I went way downhill. My babies were everything to me. I loved being a mom. When I first became a mom, I felt like, you know, I dropped out of high school and all that. I never finished anything. I never accomplished anything. And when I had my babies, I was accomplishing things, and I took pride in it. And that's the one thing that my addiction took away from me. And so while living on the streets, because I couldn't stay there at my mom's no more, my ex took my kids, I lost my house, I lost my car later on. Instead of paying the bill, I went to the casino and, you know, spent money on my friends and myself, and started committing crimes all up and down the valley. And I became somebody that I was not raised to be. I knew I was better than, but it's the only thing that, you know, I felt at the time in my addiction, you know, that was right. Every time I'd go home, they'd run me off, you know, I felt like, you know, and really it was what I was doing, and they just loved me and they wanted me to stop. They were just cutting me out until I was done. And it took me 3.5 years to be out there to realize that I was done. And I went to jail 6 times. I got sober in April 2018 because I had a stolen truck. And before I got ready and got in the truck to leave anywhere, I was giving somebody a ride, and I prayed and I asked God, if what I'm doing right now is not good, stop me, show me a sign. And I knew it wasn't right. I knew it was totally against God. I was trying to go cash checks. And so I pull into the DMV in Tulare and put money on the river. And I pull out, and as I'm pulling out, the person that owned the truck tackled the truck, grabbed my steering wheel. There was no way I was getting out. And of course, the people who were with me bailed, left me hanging. So I took off running. I got away, and I don't know what it was. And I remember when I was out there in my addiction, I was reading the Bible, and it said something about sneezing. Well, when I ran from that truck, I got away. I called my boyfriend's parents at the time. They came and got me. And for 3 days straight, I was sneezing. I could not stop sneezing. And I remembered praying to God, like, if this is wrong, show me something. So I immediately grabbed my Bible, also grabbed something else, and was sitting there, you know, getting high. And it took me a week. Well, it was the 19th when that happened. And it took me till the 24th of sitting there while people were coming in and out and pulling my Bible out and getting high with them, for them to all disappear and stop coming around and bringing me stuff, you know? And I finally I overstayed my welcome where I was at, and they were like, you know, if you want us to take you home, we can. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I went to my boyfriend's house in Matheny. Matheny Tracks is where I got sober, and that's why I know it was God that got me sober. And about 3 months into being sober, my boyfriend had bought a dirt bike. that was stolen, and they came to the house for it, and they ran my name. I tried using my sister-in-law's name, who is 300 pounds, and I was like 125, and they said, I arrested Tiffany last night, and I'm pretty sure you're not Tiffany. And so I was like, okay, yeah, it's L'Oreal Justice. And so I went in, and my boyfriend's mom at the time just kept telling me, ask for a program, ask for a program, and, you know, get your help. And I'm like, okay. I stayed sober. I went in front of the judge, and I was going to fight the, okay, they questioned me for the stolen truck, and I'm like, they didn't catch me, I'm good, so I ain't admitting to shit, you know, like, so then I find out the two people that were with me gave up my tattoos, gave up my name, gave up everything about me, and I still denied it. I took it to court one time, and it got knocked out, and the DA says, we'll bring it up tomorrow, we'll be in the office. So second time around, this is like 7 or 8 court hearings later, my mom falling out in the courtroom, you know, going through her cancer stuff and thinking about how my mom's falling out in the courtroom on her way home. Is she going to be falling out driving? You know, like, so the next day I went to go to trial. They said the DA offered me a deal of receiving stolen property. And I said, I'll take it. Because, you know what, God knows I was there. He knows I did, and I just got to do my time. So I did a month and a half that time, got out, and they gave me my 90-day program. I beat 3 years in prison, 3 years in Kings County, because when I left there, Tulare County was to release me so I could get into a program, and Kings County picked me up. I had a 2-year run with them from 11-550, and the judge was tired of me not showing up for court, so she told me she was going to lock me up for a year, and I said, well, I have a felony case in Tulare County. Is there any way I could take care of that and then come back? And she said, you know what, we'll run it concurrent. You end up in my courtroom again, I'm giving you 3 years in my county. So 3 years in Kings County and 3 years upstate. And all it took was my 90-day program, and that 90-day program saved my life because I had my sobriety, but the things that I learned in New Visions, I am super grateful for, and definitely God sent me there. There was no option for me to leave because there's no way I was going to not do 90 days over 6 years, basically. And while I was there, I had to deal with things like my ex or my husband would never let my kids go there. He didn't like the idea of the place, so my visits were on my passes. And dealing with all the chaos in the house really tested me, like, you know, girls getting their kids and having visits when they didn't even acknowledge it, and I'm dying for it, you know, and it leaned me more onto my Bible. I went upstairs and I prayed. And then dealing with other 20 other women and being raised differently, it was really a test. And I'm really grateful for it because I learned how to love all people. And when I was up there in my room reading my Bible, mad because my kids weren't there, you know, I read it about how, you know, God wants us to love everybody because they're His children. And that's what I've done. I've even loved the hard-headed ones, the ones that are hard to love, but they're the ones that need it most. So today, I've worked my steps. Okay, for my sponsor, like Kim was saying, I got in the house. That's another thing my boyfriend's mom told me at the time was find a sponsor right away. Do your steps. And I asked a couple people, and they were never there. They never showed up to start my step work with me. So I was stuck asking Rita, who I had a resentment towards, because I always felt like she was telling on us when we come to these meetings, you know? And now being an intern and a volunteer, I realize she's not telling on us. She's helping us because we need to focus. We need to hear the messages. And, you know, it's our life that's on state. What is it? Our life that's at stake, you know? So working my steps, because I had that connection with God already, One, two, and three were real easy. I was just like, yeah, I'm getting it, you know. And so it was Rita. She's like, you're good, girl. Till we got to four. Four was just like, are you done yet? You better get it done or else you're not going to be my sponsor no more. I'm like, okay. Finally faced my fear and I did it, you know. And five was just like, oh my gosh. Like, you know, I had so many resentments towards people and it was basically my fault, you know, my wall that was put up, or it wasn't my fault and it's okay to feel that way, you know. I forgave everybody, you know, I made my amends, and I realized how bad it just hurts ourselves, you know, by holding on to things. And I can't say it right now. But so I've worked my steps and got past all that, and it was just like a huge weight lifted off my shoulders. And I started being able to sponsor women. I remember being so anxious and wanting to sponsor, and girls tell me, you're my sponsor. Like, you're going to be my sponsor. And I'm so glad to sponsor women and help women. It's amazing. Today, I have about five sponsees. I'm not supposed to have that many, but I do. I can't tell anybody no. You know what I mean? And there's not too many sponsors around New Visions. Being of service is what has kept my sobriety. I have been dealing with a lot of life on life terms. Right now, I had been going to court. I put an application in for the monitor. While I was out there, after my ex took my kids, I kept, during my whole next month I'll stop, I was also committing welfare fraud. And that was why it was next month after the first, you know. Let me get my money and then I'll stop. And I did that for 2 years because my husband worked a job where he was never going to report it. So I figured I was okay, you know. And now, 15 months sober, I got to go to jail on Friday. It's not going to stop me. I just feel a little disconnected, like I'm going to be a little disconnected from everybody, but you know what? I'll get through it. God will get me through it, just like you got me through the rest of it. And like Rita and a couple other people have been saying, is like maybe there's some people in there I need to spread my message to and help out and get them in these rooms. So, you know, I might skip a couple months, but in December, these rooms are going to be crowded. You know what I mean? If it wasn't for New Visions and the ladies and the new coming ladies, everybody that walks through New Visions door is my sobriety. You know what I mean? I love every one of them. And also, guys, same thing. It's really important you stay in these rooms and come back. It's okay. You know, this is our family. We're here forever. Come back. And that's pretty much all I got. I'm a little early.